I have the power. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we welcome back Ron Bauman. We talk about zombies, raising your children atheist, and he asks us five questions.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. As always, I am one of your hosts, Molly Glover, and I'm joined by Nick.
Hi.
And Tim.
That's me.
And today we are talking again with Ron Bauman. This is part two. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Ron Bauman of the Tortuga Twins is here.
Of the Tortuga Woo! Twins. It's true.
This is probably going to air like a month after the first one, just, you know, so.
That's fine.
You know what?
You guys have been waiting.
Let me know, because I'll promote the hell of it on Tortuga Twins site and Renaissance Festivals. Sweet.
More traffic.
Yay, more traffic.
All right, so.
We love people listening to us. We are doing this because we're attention whores.
Yes. I can't relate. I put my hair in pigtails and take my shirt off at 48 years old because I'm an attention whore.
I don't know, you guys. I'm an actor who plays pretends to be a Renaissance character all day on my weekends for fun and little money.
Yeah.
All right, so we wanted to talk about zombies.
This is a zombie episode.
Absolutely.
We're big fans of zombies here.
Yeah. I am. How about you, Ron?
I'm crazy about it, and I have a huge fan following that loves it. We write an online journal as part of our members-only fan club, and about every 3-4 months... It's like, I don't want to write about it. This is where I went. This is what I did. We're just writing about zombies this time. And it's both a collection of, here's some musings on zombies, here's some zombie photos, here's some zombies in the news that you need to know about.
I totally got to send you the zombie songs my band does.
Please do.
The Dregs have 3 zombie songs.
It's true.
Really?
I run distance, you know, and so I have a zombie game that you have to get it.
Is it worth having?
Oh, it's totally worth it. It's worth $8.
Does it work for short runs?
Yes. You can set it to half an hour or a mile. You don't have to. Half an hour is a pretty decent size run. You know, that's about 3 miles for, you know.
To brag real quick, and we'll post this picture on the website when we put this up. But when we got married, a friend of mine, one of my groomsmen, made me a zombie survival case to hang on the wall.
Oh my God, that's amazing!
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
With a,
it's that got, is sweet.
It's got a, it's in like a glass, like a plexiglass case.
Is that
with a
real
frame.
Gun?
No, it's airsoft shotgun, but it could be a real
it looks
gun.
Exactly. Yeah.
With
like
a real axe, and then like a nylon bandolier of shells, and then a little like break glass.
In case of emergency,
he stole it from his apartment buildings.
Nice. I travel around in the back of my truck at all times. My zombie apocalypse survival kit.
Go
That's
bag.
Fantastic.
Sure.
Actually, a little bit more than that. So a go bag is supposed to be about 72 hours. This one's set up for about 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not quite enough food for 2 weeks, but I got a pretty good start on it. Now, listen, let's be clear. And I said this in one of my podcasts. Anytime I'm talking too much, please just elbow me. It's fine. Of course,
you're the guest.
Zombies aren't real. Of course, there's not going to be a zombie apocalypse.
Right. But it's fun.
Unless there is.
Right. But. Exactly.
But a couple years ago, there was this moderately famous couple. He was a Korean newscaster, sportscaster, and they got misled by their GPS, got stranded in the mountains. They were stranded on the mountains in the snow for a week until he finally walked out, trying to find help, and died.
Oh my God!
If he had my kit. He'd have been fine.
It's a dual purpose kit.
In case
of emergencies, zombies could be emergencies.
Zombies would definitely qualify. Now, my emergencies do tend to lead towards more, you know, things that I can shoot at too, because I'm a little bit of a gun crazy. But I actually found myself when I was putting some. I really am. Ask me what I was doing yesterday.
I'm a fan.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
I own a Sig Sauer pistol.
Which one?
P239, like a carry.
Oh, the 238's the tiny little 380 one.
No, it's a 9mm.
SIG just put out a new 380. It's basically a 1911.
Oh my God,
it's about this big.
They started talking about
1911 so bad. That's my dream gun.
Look at STI International. Yeah. They make a 1911 called the Trojan. I named mine Paris. I did. That's chambered in 40 Smith & Wesson.
No kidding.
Kicks ass, takes names, outshoots the Kimber. Yeah, I told you I was a gun nerd. Outshoots the Kimber. And it's oh wait, no God, no God. I just wanted to bring that back
that's
into the
sure. No, 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 that's that. No,
no, you can be a geek about guns.
You can totally be a geek
really
about,
am.
You
I really
about
am.
Just
I,
about anything.
I have done my my conceal and carry for Minnesota, but I haven't turned in the paperwork.
Same
the
place,
background
same
check.
Place. Yeah,
I can't that. Get mine because I was institutionalized.
No, no, wait, wait. You no, if you weren't institutionalized against your will.
Oh.
If you weren't adjudicated by a court.
Oh, yep. Okay.
So you well,
that, or, that wasn't that.
Or the other thing is, or if you were held on threats to harm yourself.
Or others, I bet.
Yeah.
We're geeks with our guns. We're geeks. We're geeks with guns.
Song.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Geeks with guns.
Anyway, but back to the zombie thing. Yeah. So I was thinking about it, and there's a company named Calico that makes this pistol with a 177 round, 22 magazine. A 22 caliber
sure.
magazine on it. 177 rounds. That should have held a lot of zombies.
It's a lot.
It's a 22, dumbass. And I had to really pull myself back from thinking they're not really zombies. That's just something that will shoot.
Is
it, okay, wait. Yeah. So hang on. Is it a round magazine?
It's an octagon. Look it up, the Calico. Huh. It's really they don't stop
yeah,
making
we'll
it.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up.
It looks like a Star Wars gun. It really
nice.
Does. They made carbine versions and pistol versions, but the magazine was like a corkscrew inside a hexagon.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Sure, sure.
I think here's the point where I should say I like Nerf guns a lot. and I'm lethal with a fucking Nerf.
Do you have that belt
fed one? I'm just saying, no.
I've got that.
Oh, nice. That sounds awesome. Nice.
Anyway. Let him borrow it sometime. Yeah. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. I would totally shoot zombies with a Nerf gun.
And
you know.
Get eaten.
So but look cool, dude.
One of my favorite things. Okay, so with zombies, you said you were a comics nerd when we talked at our last podcast. Have you read The Walking Dead?
Of course.
Much?
Okay,
90 episodes, 90 issues of them on my iPad right now.
Yeah.
So you got 11 more.
So what I love about it, what I love about that, and what I was so pissed about the show the first season was the first season the show went in this direction where they tried to explain why the zombies were happening. And
they never touch
trying,
on it in the comics.
People were
it's
trying
not
to
important.
Cure the zombie thing, and that made me mad.
Wait, do you see these goosebumps?
Yeah, yeah.
This goes back to something I forgot to mention in the last podcast.
Yeah.
A note for you.
Okay,
I'm going to give you the quote. You should recognize it.
Oh boy, okay.
And it explains why we shouldn't explain zombies. And when I write my zombie novel, I won't. Maybe Arthur Godfrey pissed radioactive Bisquick. Do you recognize it?
It sounds like it's from
Stephen King.
Yes.
Yeah.
You mentioned it in
one of your
podcasts.
No. Yeah, yeah. Hold on, Arthur Godfrey. I don't know. I'm going to say The Dark Half. I don't think that's right.
The Raft.
The Raft.
The
Raft.
Right.
She can't.
That is one of my favorite.
I don't go to swimming rafts. I don't go to swimming rafts.
Favorite choice. Don't see the movie version. It's horrible.
Oh, I've seen it.
Horrible.
I don't go to swimming
but
rafts.
But they were at one point he was like, you know, maybe you know, cosmic rays had some slip of oil.
Yeah.
Or maybe Arthur Godfrey being great. You know, doesn't matter. I like that.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Highlander.
We don't know.
Night of the Living Dead, there's never a moment where they explain where the zombies came from.
Yeah.
And
they've got like one theory.
The probe returning from Venus might have caused it.
Yep.
Okay, I'm a purist, okay? I want my zombies infection to be universal, not just by bite transmission. To hell with you, Max Brooks.
Okay.
My zombies don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
My zombies don't eat brains. That happened only in because of 1985
right.
Return of the Living Dead.
Why?
Yay, Linnea Quigley.
Brains
however.
Make the pain go.
Oh my god, that was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh god, it was fun, and I love the fact that when they spiked the one guy down, you know, with the pickaxe through his head, he was still going, and they had to burn him up. That was lovely.
Brains.
I don't care fast zombies or slow zombies, but I just saw a friend of mine says. Fast zombies to watch, slow zombies to fight, which is a pretty good argument.
Yeah. I'm down.
But a friend of mine, I just read an article that said, listen, in the initial one, in the Romero Night of the Living Dead, the zombies were using he didn't call them zombies, you know.
They never say it.
I'm that nerd. They called them the creatures. In production, he called them ghouls, which is lovely. They were walking pretty quickly, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were using tools.
Yep.
They were closer to the snipe.
When they had
to the
windows board.
Yeah.
They were using tools.
Or used a rock to try to break the break the window.
Yep.
They were closer to the Snyder zombies than to the other later Romero zombies.
Have you read Crossed?
No.
Okay.
Oh yeah. They talk. They're not.
No. Zombies. Yeah. So they're in. It's a comic. I think it was started by Warren Ellis. It's very, very, very beyond rated R.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Avatar. It's just like zombies. Bodily fluids transmit the bite or the infection, you get a cross shaped scar on
like
your
lupus
face,
really?
Kind of like lupus, and you are obsessed with sex and death.
It's you're a reaver.
You're a reaver from Firefly.
Yeah, Raven's not gonna kill him with her skins.
And maybe in that order, right? Yeah. So it's I mean, they're intelligent enough to use guns, but reckless and violent enough where they will like kill each other. As well.
Constant berserker rage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Craig DeLuey, I've been reading a lot of zombie fiction.
Yeah.
And partly, the Morningstar saga is pretty, pretty good.
I still haven't read World War Z.
World War Z is epic.
It's, you know, the movie.
Please don't talk to me
right
about
now.
The movie.
I haven't read
please
it
don't. No, because they've gone through three or four rewrites. Because,
yeah.
And they've created
a
love
it,
interest
yeah.
for Brad Pitt's character, which doesn't belong, and all this other nonsense.
Yeah.
The Morningstar is good because it explains both infection and not. Z.A. Recht is the one who did the Morningstar strain. There's three of them. The third one just came out.
We're going to have to include a bibliography with this podcast.
Day by Day Armageddon, the first two books were pretty good. But again, towards the end, and this is the problem. I read some survivalist books when I was a kid, and after a while, the guy could just do everything. It was the center of all stories.
Yeah.
The Morningstar one, it looks like one of the guys has gotten bitten but didn't catch the virus, so he's responsible. He can save it. The Day by Day Armageddon just started out as this guy surviving the Armageddon, but now he found this and he's going to be taking over that. And one of the other stories, they threw a spaceship in that was the genesis of the... And it's like, stop it.
It sounds kind of like when the first one you tried mode, like Omega Man.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Or it's more aliens than zombies, but it's Dreamcatcher, Stephen King's Dreamcatcher, they're trying to, there's a survivalist and you're not, and they just die so fast.
Yeah, yeah.
They die so fast. And
but an author named Craig DeLuey wrote one called Tooth and Nail. And one of the interesting things was that it wasn't actually a zombie virus. It was much more like an extremely fast acting rabies.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like a rage zombie.
Closer to a rage zombie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And wiped out the army that was on. They were getting shipped over to Afghanistan or whatever, and they go, "Oh, you better come back here." Wiped them out, and it was brutal and fast and really pretty well written. A lot of the zombie fiction, especially stuff you can get on a Kindle, you wouldn't want to bother with.
But
I kind of view it as research for some of the stuff that I'm writing.
Sure.
With Walking Dead, one of the things I love is that they focus on it's the people.
Yeah.
And when he the whole like, and we're the Walking
Dead. We are the Walking Dead.
We're the Walking Dead. Yeah.
Zombies are supposed to be a metaphor. You know, whether it's Dawn of the Dead and they're the metaphor for consumerism
what was the quote? I think it was actually Dr. Phil said the bourgeois fear of the working class,
George Romero's intent
was that they're a metaphor for the working class,
right? And again, it's a metaphor for why we produce the kit and everything.
Yeah.
And so clearly, one of the things I'm going to have is zombies are bad, but so is weather, and so is fire, and so is...
Zombies are a force of nature that you can plan for.
Yeah. Zombies also are often used as a surrogate for our fear of science or our fear of medicine, our fear that...
Our
that
Western
if
pride.
If we tinker with God's...
With
God's plan.
Forces that we don't understand.
In the running zombie game, it's okay, so spoiler alert, if you're playing the game and you haven't gotten to mission 23, just hang on for a second. So they one of the things was they were trying to they're trying to cure cancer with a regeneration.
I've actually read a couple of versions of that. Yeah.
And so that's, which is a very common, that's a very logical kind of way for that to happen. And as a result, the patients.
I Am Legend uses that.
Yeah. Yep.
Even though those are technically more vampires than zombies.
Oh, no.
The scene with the dog.
Read the book.
I did. I read the story.
Yeah, the book's great.
It's amazing. I started with that with the audiobook, which was terrible.
Yeah.
The guy was like doing spooky voices, which just ruined it for me. And then I switched to the book, and I was like, "Yeah, this is good."
I
Richard Matheson, he's science fiction 101. You should be reading him if you're reading anything.
He does a good
like
sci-fi
50s,
horror
right?
mix too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe even earlier than that, because Christ made his movies. Last Man. I have them all.
Last Man.
I have Last Man. I have Omega. I have this Last Travesty. I have the book. I have a script.
Charlton Heston's Jesus sci-fi.
I had a script from that was in between before they made this last one.
Some weird one.
That I picked up. Yeah, I'm that kind of nerd too. this will tie in nicely because again, I want to personally bring it back to atheism stuff. Does it bother you guys? Because sometimes it bothers me that there's a lack of sympathetic things for an atheist to say.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, people say, "I'm sick. Remember me in your prayers." I'm not that guy.
Praying for you and your family.
I have a really, really hard time with helping other people with grief.
When someone dies, especially.
I'm socially awkward about it. I really am uncomfortable with it. I have to ask Molly, when a friend of ours has a family member that's died, I seriously have to be like, what is the appropriate thing for me to say here?
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yep. That's what I end up saying.
But I got to say,
their memory is pure.
I got to say that I have an easier time because my dad died when I was 19.
Yeah.
I've
lost older family members, but when you lose...
Younger,
he was 49 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I have a really clear idea of what it's like to experience that kind of loss.
Yeah.
And so... What I try to say when something like that happens is it gets better.
Yeah.
Sure.
It gets better. Nice. It's really hard.
That's good.
It's really hard. You're going to have a hard couple of years, but it does get better. And there are people out there who will help you, who are there to talk to you, who know how you feel and can listen. And they're not going to judge you.
Sure.
They're just going to say, I remember feeling the exact same way.
Let me ask you a question, because you're a father, and in fact, your children are sitting here glaring at me disapprovingly for the language that I've been using in the podcasts today.
No,
you
just
How are you raising your children?
Well, that's an interesting question. Alex self-identified as an atheist when we first talked about religion. My feeling is I want them to think about it for themselves.
So you don't want faith-based atheists.
I don't want them to be an atheist because I'm an atheist. Yeah. Devin is very insistent about the fact that he believes in God, and I'm really okay. I don't have a problem with theism.
Really?
I have a problem with religion.
Yeah, I can see that.
If he continues to think that there's a God, that's okay with me, so long as that doesn't draw him into religion, which I think is inherently damaging. So my goal is to raise kids who are non-religious. If they choose to be theist or atheist, that is a decision that I feel I need to leave.
Send him to UU.
Yeah, if he ever wants to explore theism in an organized setting, send him to the Unitarians. They're good people.
Yeah.
When I was at TAM again in 2011, I went to because I have a 4.5-year-old daughter, and I'm fraught with questions, and I'm sure I'm screwing her up mercilessly.
No.
And so that's where I came across the term faith-based atheist, and there was some contention, do you raise with Santa Claus? Do you not? Do you raise,
There's a lot of.
And I made some really clear choices. I know what I'm doing. I think I'm doing the right thing. You know, Scarlett has Santa until the minute she goes, hey, this doesn't make sense. Okay.
Perfect.
Sure.
You know,
I agree.
And here's why. And here's why.
Devin still believes in Santa Claus.
And
that's okay.
Yeah, I want Scarlett to experience things. I want her to. I'm going to teach her. Here's what Mommy and Daddy believe. Mommy's less annoyingly atheist than I am, because I do tend to proselytize from time to time, or I used to. Because if you don't fill that void, someone else might.
Exactly. I want them to have the tools to know that what religion sells is a bad product.
My brother and sister, so I have a brother
makes
and sister
no logical
that are,
sense.
That are 13 and 14 years younger than me. So I was kind of like that surrogate mom thing going on from a young teenager. So my brother and sister, when we were driving around when they were 4 and 3, and my little brother Riley looks out the window and we drive past the church and he's like, who's the guy on the tee? My mom was like, what? And then she's like, and so I had to try to explain that. And then, because we're not, my family is an atheist, but they also, neither are they religious, they're lazy. And so my sister was in second grade, and she came home and she's like, so what are we? My mom. My mom's like, I don't understand. She's like, what are we? Are we Jews? Are we Christians? What are we? Because people are asking, and I don't know what to say. My mom's like, well, what do you think you should say? She's like, I don't know. We don't even go to church. And my mom's like, you just say that. And she's like, and it was funny because like
we're non-religious.
She was getting pressure from the other kid, the other 8-year-olds, about like, what are you? What is your family?
When,
religion?
When Alex made the decision, and this was, I wrote about this in the essay that I have in the Atheist Voices of Minnesota book, was this conversation because Alex was in Cub Scouts, and part of Cub Scouts is faith.
That's a piece of what
they do.
It's a pillar.
And it made me really uncomfortable when we got to the point where it's like, in order for him to get his wolf badge, we had to talk about God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I don't really believe in God. So I was like, well, let's see what happens. And I sat him down. Yeah. I said, well, here's the thing, Alex, your mom and I, we don't believe in God. And his answer was, I really don't either. He'd already come to that
conclusion.
Sounds like
he thought about it already.
And he really felt, and he was very comfortable with it. And I think that's great. I mean, to the point that, I mean, he talks about it to other kids, and he talked about a conversation he had on the school bus, where he told other kids that he didn't believe in God, and the other kids said, well, if you don't believe in God, you're not going to go to heaven. And he just looked at him and was like, that doesn't make any sense.
That's awesome.
I think they said, if you don't believe in God, you're going to go to hell. And he's like,
that's not a threat for
anyone. Yeah.
So your daughter's 4.5?
4.5.
And what's been your experience with her? Like, have you had?
He's smiling right now. He's grinning, remembering that story.
Well, so earlier this winter, our dog died.
Yeah.
And it's a dog that she really...
Yeah, I know.
I don't like dogs, and it didn't bother me.
No, that's right.
But it brings up that question.
Losing a pet is hard, whether it's a dog or a gerbil.
And it was, you know, so what do you tell her? You know, it would be nice to tell her all those, you know, lies. The dog went to another place, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. We had a discussion around the house, and I was just like, Scarlett, Manny got really, really sick, and he's gone. He's dead. And she goes, oh, that's okay. And so, we're like,
kids process,
you know, did you not get him? And so, you know, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, I'll see him tomorrow. No, honey. You know. And so a couple of days later, Heather's flipping through some photos and sees a picture of the Chihuahua. And she starts crying. And Scarlett comes up and goes, Mommy, it's okay. Manny will be back. And it's like, no, Scarlett, Manny got really sick. And Manny died. And he's not. And Scarlett, without missing a beat, because she's my daughter, goes, no, it's okay, Mommy. He come back, he be zombie dog. And I'm like, I have never loved this child more.
You gotta see Frank and Weenie.
Oh, yeah. We will. We've seen the commercial.
Frank and Dog. Like, Frank and Dog.
Oh, man.
We're a cat house.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost some cats since the kids have been born. And, you know, I guess... To me, it's like, yeah, you just got to say they're gone. And I, honestly, I think even if you have faith, you need to say that. I think that
but isn't that the whole? I mean, the whole point of religion is they're gone.
The invention
they're
of lying.
Gone. They're going to a better place.
But they're going to
the same. That's that movie. Invention of lying. Have you seen that with Ricky Gervais?
No, I haven't.
We should watch that for a podcast.
Oh.
It's about a society. It's a world, another dimension, you can call it, where there is no one lies. Everyone always tells the truth, and no one believes in God.
And one day, Ricky Gervais'
lies. Mom is dying, and she says, it hurts, and I'm so scared. And he says to her, he lies, and no one knows how he did it, but he says, it's okay, because after you die, there's a wonderful place, and it's filled with all your friends that have been gone, and your family, and you'll feel happy, and there's warmth, and no pain, and everything will be okay. And everyone thinks it's real, because no one has ever lied before.
Oh.
And so they're like, so there is a man in the sky? There's a man in the sky who takes care of us? And he's like... And he doesn't. So he's the only person in the whole world who can lie.
He invents a religion. And he becomes
really,
like a
really
prophet.
And I don't want to say much more about it. We should watch it.
Yeah, I was amazed.
That'll have to be another one of our movie nights.
Yeah. That the religious people podcasts. Weren't up in arms.
It got panned, kind of. But I mean, it's. I would say it's a strong atheist movie.
Yeah, it really was. Huh. But it's subversive. But,
yeah,
but it shouldn't.
But I see what you're saying. It's not part of the reason that people are religious is to have that
comfort.
But I mean, getting back to atheism and zombies, in many ways, I feel a lot of people who believe are zombies.
Yeah.
You know, because they blindly follow what somebody tells them. You know, one of the reasons I was talking about...
Think for me, things, I can't bear to.
Sure.
Yeah. One of the reasons that I object to religion is because religion is all about some individual... placing whatever they believe in front of a bunch of other people and getting them to believe it too.
It's religion is man's inability to deal with the fact that they are alive and one day they will not be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
we
that's
are aware of our
from.
Own mortality.
It's,
right.
It's clearly part of it. You said something the other day and I couldn't agree with you more about the other day, because this is a weeks ago podcast.
Yeah.
about your stance of being so vividly avidly against religion, how much harm has been done, and I couldn't agree more. And there are people who want to argue, well, look at the comfort it does, and look at the this that it does, and look at the that that it does.
There's no religion
even,
that hasn't
even
done harm.
If it didn't do harm, like, no crusades, nothing
there's
like
even,
that. Let's say none of that happened. I say that the fact that you are taking things on faith without evidence and are kind of, in a way, lying to yourself, that mindset is in itself harmful and holds back humanity.
Yeah.
The fact that you are denying yourself in your 0 to 88 years of existence, you're denying yourself a full set of experiences based on some nebulous bullshit reward later. This is when the real atheist comes out. You know,
that's what bothers me. It's that you're getting, you're sacrificing the life that you have for a life you won't.
Yeah.
And that... that really bugs me that people put that out there. I mean, if you want to talk about damage that religion did that isn't the Crusades, hell, just look at the Dark Ages. I mean, yeah. Think of where humanity would be right now if there wasn't that great big 1,000-year waste.
Yeah. And the burning of the Library of Alexandria.
Well, in that instance, I mean, religion is the reason why we hung on to books and literacy and why so much was saved. To play devil's advocate.
Except if religion wasn't there, we wouldn't have had to do it.
Right.
Sacking was...
Like to use as a motivational question. They like to use, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? You know, mm-hmm. because it's all, I'm going to be an architect, yeah. whatever the fuck it is. And, you know, that's lovely. They don't ask me that. Because my response is, quite honestly, remove not only religion, but the need for religion from the world.
I read a great thing the other day that was like, you know, they say it takes 11 years to master something,
mm-hmm.
to become, like, really, really good at some skill or hobby or job or whatever. And so, in your lifespan, you have the opportunity, if you're lucky, to have 7 or 8 chances to master something and to accomplish mm-hmm. something and be great at something. And consider those your 7 or 8 lifetimes. And consider what you can accomplish with those maybe 6, maybe 5, 11-year periods to do something fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's a
lovely...
You do get one lifetime, but... Look what you can do with all that time.
There's a lot of rebirth in there.
My only problem with that is I'm guilty of this myself. Yeah, but a lot of us are just going to spend one or two of those lifetimes sitting in front of Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I'm fucking lazy as hell, man. I'm not going to master shit.
You got to think about mastering Facebook as something that you
can
do.
Sure, sure.
So there you go.
Maintaining a happy social life.
Yeah.
All right, so
maintaining a happy social life is important.
So we have already asked you our 5 questions.
I've got.
So we asked you have 5 questions for us, right?
I've got 5 questions.
What?
For you.
All right. So here's what we're gonna do.
Oh God! But we don't know what they are.
We're gonna keep our answers as short as we can.
There's no way that's gonna happen.
Just try to do this. All right.
All right.
Who wants to be first?
Well, you ask the question.
Yeah,
we'll
go
first.
Yeah.
All right. My first question is favorite book that you've read in the past 30 days.
Oh, in the past 30 days.
I
can go. I read a book called So Much Pretty, and I don't remember who the author is, but I'll have to put it in the show notes. But it is a book about a small town and a young girl, like a 19-year-old girl, is murdered. And then also in that town, there is a 13-year-old girl who is weird as fuck. She has been raised by circus folk. She is a sociopath, but not in an evil. I mean, she's not evil. She is a sociopath.
Yeah.
And
right.
then it's it just and that alone is what got me to read it. And it unfolds in a very interesting way. Yeah.
For me, it'd be Red Mars, Kim Stanley Robinson. It is a realistic fiction. Take very heavy, heavy science.
Is it old? Is it
90s? 92. Okay. Yeah. It won whole bunch of awards for like Nebula and all that.
Hugo.
It's a realistic scientific look and story about colonizing Mars.
Nice.
And it's in a trilogy: Red Mars, Green Mars, Blue Mars, and it's like, I mean, this shit could happen in 50 years. Like, what happens in this book, it's very, very
hard science.
I love it.
Like Niven and Pornell.
It's great.
So, I don't read fiction very much at all. I actually pretty much exclusively read nonfiction. Lately, I've actually been trying to read a lot of books about atheism, agnosticism, and even religion. There's one I'm reading right now I'm not going to talk about because, oh my God, it's horrible. But I read a book called Losing My Religion. I can't remember the name of the author. I passed it to you guys because I wanted to talk about it in the podcast at some point. It's about a man, a reporter, who became a born-again Christian, started a religion beat, and going and on the religion beat as he's starting to, and he's doing it as the Catholic Church pedophilia scandal is starting to break.
Really
starting and how break. He goes from being a believer, a born-again believer, to an atheist through the process of reporting on
you
this.
You talked to this us about this.
I did. I gave Marley the book.
Yeah,
you should
read
it. We need to talk about that book. It's really well written, and it's a really good exploration of where the mindset of a fundamentalist comes from,
mm-hmm.
and how, as somebody who's an atheist, you can work through that mindset.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's a really good book.
Number two.
Best restaurant in the Minneapolis area.
Oh, shit.
Red Thai. Pad Thai. Pad Thai is the name of it. I love Thai food.
I love Thai food.
Pad Thai is by McAllister College, and they have the best red curry ever. I can live on that stuff. So Pad Thai, strongly
Brasa.
Recommend it.
Brasa
is just all, that's all meats and like Cuban side dishes and other like soul foodish kind of side dishes that are amazing.
So
and I just
there,
love
one over there by Ground Zero.
By Ground Zero. There's one in St. Paul.
What's the steak place in the Plymouth Building on 6? Murray's.
Oh, Murray's
downtown.
That is some sweet.
Go
steak.
Go during a lunchtime because there's no one there and everything's cheaper.
You can get what they call the silver butter knife. Silver butter knife steak. You don't need a steak knife.
It's amazing.
Hold on.
And it's like,
are we still recording?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. Sorry.
A reasonable amount for like a 4-star steak place. It's great.
All right.
Okay. Answer quickly because I know we are kind of running out of time.
No, we're fine.
We're fine. Yeah. You're on an island. You have a DVD player. You can take 5 DVDs.
Ooh.
Just pick the ones today.
All right.
Taxi Driver, first, foremost. Taxi Driver, hands down, my favorite movie. Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm. Which version?
Fuck you, one DVD? The Blu-ray that has them all? No, not the director's cut. I'm going to go theatrical release. I don't feel that the narration dumps it down.
I really like it. I'm a huge film noir fan, so to me the narration is what makes it a film noir.
And
I know I get in trouble with a lot of people for saying that.
No, I like the
theatrical cut.
Pineapple Express. It's a dumb, like, pot-smoking funny movie. I fucking love it. It's funny as hell. It's a buddy action comedy. Yeah. That's three. Shit. Man, see, all I can think of is movies we've seen recently, so I want to say, like, Brick.
Just pick them today.
Brick.
Brick's good. And I feel like I need another comedy or something whimsical. I'll see Dark Crystal.
Oh, nice.
Just to mix it up and keep it, like, kind of light and dark in there or something. Yeah, I don't know.
You ready, right, Molly?
I'm ready. I got all 4 so far. Royal Tenenbaums.
That's
my favorite movie. Mm-hmm. Fight Club.
Okay.
Which is also
used to be your favorite movie.
Used to be my favorite movie. Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Is that the pageant one?
Yep, yeah, the pageant. Okay.
It takes place in Minnesota.
Of course, it does. Yeah.
Lars and the Real Girl, which
really
you haven't
Lars
seen.
And the Real Girl.
You need to see. I love that movie. It makes me cry every time I see it. That's my drama that I would pick.
Okay.
And probably Rushmore, honestly.
Yeah.
Double Wes Anderson. Yeah, yeah.
You're doubling up on Wes Anderson.
I wish I would have picked a Wes Anderson.
Yeah, no.
Oh, sorry. You're on the
Bottle Rocket.
Bottle Rocket.
Fucking love it.
All right, this is hard, but number one, unquestionably, is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No shit.
I know, that was easy, wasn't it? number two, Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
Number three, I think, definitely Young Frankenstein.
That's like my second favorite movie. I don't know why I didn't say that.
I'd have to bring Young Frankenstein. I would have to bring, I'm trying to think of a classic, I would bring Casablanca, because I can watch that movie over and over and over again. You're wrong. You just don't give me that. Casablanca is amazing. And
I haven't seen it.
Oh my god!
She hasn't seen Godfather and any of the Godfather movies either.
And I guess
I'm still married to her.
Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo.
Nice.
Because that would make me think of my kids.
Movie about a handicapped child who befriends a mentally handicapped woman to return him to his father.
No, you got that backwards. But anyway, never mind.
At what point did you realize you were an atheist or skeptic?
We blogged about this a little bit. We did Why I'm an Atheist a little
bit.
Dude,
I've read or listened to 8 of your podcasts.
don't
give me crap because I didn't read your damn blog.
I'm just saying we kind of have semi-prepared answers for this. I don't know, maybe like 11 or 10 was when I like put it to words and like cemented the thoughts and was like, nah. My grandfather's a Lutheran minister, and so, like, religious holidays were spent going to listen to him do his sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I've said it before, Mr. Rogers and Jimmy Carter. He's a super cool, kind of peace-love guy. Like, he's very harmless. He's very intelligent.
He's too old to be a hippie, but he would have been a hippie if he'd been born 10 years later.
He's a pacifist. He was a conscientious objector, and And I just was bored to shit as a child by all that, and I never understood why the...
I could never stand church.
Yeah. Easter was a two-hour fucking sermon.
Oh, my God. It went on and on and on.
I was, like, beating my head against a pew board. Always, forever.
I took my nieces to an Easter service, I don't know, 10 years ago or something like that. And I was, you know, especially as a former Catholic, I was looking for some grandeur, some magic, some magic, mass, something, you know. And all it was basically was misery, misery, misery. Yeah. Give us money. Here's some money we raised. I'm like, whoa.
And Easter's supposed to be like the most joyous, joyous holiday in the Catholic.
I was disappointed.
And so, I write a bit about this again in the essay that I have in Atheist Voices in Minnesota. There was this point where I was at summer camp, and I was a nerd. I was a little kid. The kids made fun of me. I didn't like it very much. And there was a day where a camp counselor found me crying because some kids were making fun of me, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And she said to me, you know, I told her what had happened, and she said to me, you know, it's okay because God loves you anyway. And you know that feeling you
so
get in the
patronizing.
You know that feeling you get in the pit of your stomach sometimes when something's just wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a physical reaction. I was like 9 or 10, but
especially as a little kid, you get that a lot.
I had this physical reaction of, that's not enough. That's not right. That doesn't work. That doesn't make any sense, because if God loves me, then God loves these other jerks.
Yeah.
And that doesn't solve my problem. Yeah. And it feels wrong. It doesn't feel like it's giving me any comfort. And I wouldn't have said that I was an atheist then. It took me a very long time. I don't think I said I was out loud, I'm an atheist, until maybe 5 or 6 years ago. But that's the point where I think I knew, at least in part, that I didn't believe God existed.
Yeah. I read about Charles Darwin in a kid's version of the evolutionary theory that my mom had gotten for me with, like, pictures and stuff when I was about 8. And I was really into that. So then I went and read some more adult, like, young adult books about it. And Darwin was my hero. So we did this thing in fourth grade, that we had to make our heroes out of, like, you know, you take dish soap bottles and light bulbs, and then you dress them in little, like, clothes for them. So everyone was doing sports stars. Kirby Puckett, of course, was a big, you know, and I had this, like, I glued white hair, I glued white cotton and a beard, and I put him in a robe, and it kind of looked like God, the way that people draw God, now that I think about it. And it was like, oh, and who's this? I'm like, oh, this is Charles Darwin, and, like, the God was that. And so I did this whole big thing, and, like, pin drop in the schoolroom, and it was like, okay, that's nice. And, like, whatever, like, you guys just don't get it. But then my father was born again Lutheran, because he got excommunicated from the Catholic Church for bigamy and adultery, and so he remarried his slut bride, and they became I'm sorry, it's what my mom calls her. And so they became born again Lutherans and washed in the blood and all this, and we had to do the whole very, very much trying to make us do that, and I wasn't having it. And he said that my best friends who were Jewish were going to hell because they didn't believe in Jesus. And I said that was bullshit, because they were really nice little boys.
Yeah.
And that didn't make any sense. And he's like, well, it's not, that's just the rules. And I am a rule follower. That
you
is my,
rule follower.
I am a very much, and I was like, fuck that. That's not a rule. I refuse to believe that's the rules.
If God's making those rules, then God is evil, and I'm
there's
not going to
no,
believe
exactly,
in something evil.
Because if there's one thing I knew as a kid, it was rules should, if you follow the rules, it should be because they're, you know, they're fair.
And they make sense.
If they make sense.
And God's,
like,
rules
were
never
run,
fair and never made
don't
sense.
Don't run in the halls because you could trip and fall. That makes sense to me. Like, it is, you know, but Noah and David are going to burn in a lake of fire because they were born Jewish. Fuck that. That's no way. Yeah.
Is that 4?
That's 3.
Oh my God!
Okay, what movie are you most excited about coming out this year?
It was gonna be, fuck.
Oh,
I love that movie.
No,
I know what you're talking about. It's the Baz Luhrmann.
Great Gatsby.
It was going to be Great Gatsby, but it got pushed.
That trailer
I've had
totally
a raging boner for the Gates Gatsby for
boner.
So long. Like,
yeah.
We saw the preview for it, and I was like, Tim's like, oh, is this a preview for it? I'm like, shut up. Like, I just, like, I, just, like, I am like,
yeah,
loving
I,
this.
I'll admit, the first time I saw it, I shed a tear when I saw the trailer.
I put that Jack White version of Love is Blindness by U2 on my iPod. I run with it now because it's amazing.
But that's not coming out this year.
No.
Right, I know what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say it first because then Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh yeah, oh,
Wreck-It
yeah.
Ralph looks
not
like.
Not as excited for that as.
Oh my god, the little the old video game character. Oh my god, I love that. Just you guys, you got to watch the trailer.
Why is Keebler so racist?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a great movie or not. But just based on the trailer, it's a strike zone film for me.
I
cannot
know what
wait
I'm
to see it.
Excited about now that there's no Great Gatsby. Honestly, I honestly can't think of anything.
What about The Hobbit?
I'm pretty excited for Hobbit.
Yeah.
But not. I'm not. My
doesn't
panties
feel like
aren't
you
moist.
Doesn't it feel like you have to take a deep breath before engaging in The Hobbit? Like, you know, like plunging into a deep
Skyfall.
Pool.
Oh, Skyfall.
Motherfucking Skyfall.
Yeah.
James Bond.
Yeah.
Adele's going to do the song in the beginning,
they say
probably.
Skyfall, he loses his shit, so I would
it's
like
a code
to,
word. Yeah. It's a
yeah,
trigger.
Something.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm Skyfall.
All right, yeah. I'm going with that, too.
And then finally, and the guys, has been a blast, and again, I'll have me on
stage.
This is so
much
fun.
This has been great.
Favorite ice cream flavors, bonus points if it happens to be a Ben & Jerry's flavor.
Oh.
It is.
Mine, too.
Peanut butter and banana Greek yogurt, Greek frozen yogurt, Ben and Jerry's. That shit is fucking amazing.
It's amazing.
All right.
And it's because it's Greek yogurt and frozen yogurt. It's full. It's like a lot of protein from that and peanut butter. And Molly doesn't like peanut butter, so if
I
get
okay.
If,
I like
oh
it
no,
okay.
I'm sorry, we can't.
No, 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 wait, wait, okay, hang on.
Always say this shit. Molly doesn't like Star Wars. Molly doesn't like peanut butter.
Well, to be
lies.
Fair, she hates Star Wars.
Fuck you. It's not.
No, I'm sorry. She likes Star Wars. I should clarify. You're not a big fan of peanut butter candy.
Right, it's not real peanut butter in the ice cream.
You love peanut butter. You eat peanut butter sandwiches all the fucking time.
If they, she does. If they were to tell me tomorrow that peanut butter and jelly sandwiches cause it irreparable brain cancer, I'd be like, I can live with that until it kills me.
When you went to Gen Con for 8 days,
she
brought a loaf or two of bread and a jar of peanut butter and a jar of jelly and ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Nice. So I need to clarify that. She doesn't like fruit, like treat sweets,
Reese's peanut butter cups,
stuff like that.
Yeah, it's
so,
not real peanut
so
butter.
If I get it,
that's
shit's
sugar
all mine.
That's colored,
which is like icing on the. Peanut butter.
What's your very clever, Mr. Bond.
I'm going to tell a really quick story. For our 20th anniversary, my wife and I went to Italy. Nice. And we spent a week in Rome. And Rome is a great city. It's a walking city. And what we would do every day, we would only eat one meal. We would eat a big dinner, and lunch was always gelato.
Nice.
Because there's gelato store on every fucking corner in Rome.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. And we would eat gelato twice a day. And once... out of those two times every day, I would have to have lemon sorbet because I love sour food.
Sure.
Lemon sorbet, preferably in Italy. That's
okay.
That's my favorite.
If I'm going with Ben and Jerry's, I'm going Volunteer Me Sue, which was a flavor that it was for Target.
Okay.
And it was only available in Target, like Target Super Targets, and it's tiramisu chunks swirled into vanilla, like sweet, like a vanilla sweet cream ice cream.
Oh my.
It's amazing. And I love tiramisu. So it tastes like chocolate and coffee, and you can get it at Target. So my other, and it's spelled just like you'd think, Volun tiramisu.
Yeah.
But then the other one is the lavender gelato that you can get at Sebastian's when we go.
Lavender?
It's the place right next door to the Brantley Bowl.
Nice.
See, and that's the thing. I would eat, the reason I ate lemon gelato once and something else, because there are a lot of other really good kinds of gelato.
Yeah.
But I like the lemon so much, I had to have it once a day.
Next time we have a show at the Brantley Bowl, I'll get that lavender and you can taste it. I will try that. It's amazing.
I'll try that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ron. This is so much fun.
We could record another one. We better stop.
I know. It's
the wife will shoot me.
Again, we've been with Ron Bauman and the Tortuga Twins. And where can we find you online? Like, is there
TortugaTwins.com, Facebook.com/ScaramoucheTortuga. This is my character. I don't accept new friends to Ron.
Yeah.
I will for Scaramouche.
What fest are you going to next?
Carolina is next, followed by Louisiana, and then start my year again in Arizona.
All right. So if you guys are in those states, I'm sorry, and go see the Renaissance. No, but I am sorry.
Thanks,
guys. We've been Geeks Without God. Again, if you want to email us your answers to the 5 questions or anything else, email Tim, Molly, or Nick at geeksithoutgod.com, and like us on Facebook and comment there. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
This episode of Geeks Without God was recorded in the spacious Trailer Studios.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Listen to past podcasts and catch us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. Follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God and like our Facebook page, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
Hey, Molly, do you want to turn on the air conditioner behind you? Just flip that right there up to cool.
Sweet.
Coleman Mock Fry.